It's my pleasure to call to order the October 11th meeting of Mount Pleasant Town Council. It's good to see everybody. Thank you all. We spoke about this a little bit at committee day. I want to thank everybody for our town's response in preparation when Hurricane Ian paid us a visit, and it's going well. Appreciate your patience as our hardworking public services crews get out there and collect all that debris, which they're doing a great job of. Our agenda has been published. Item number one is the prayer, which will be led by Chaplain John Prelo. And afterwards, we're going to bring up Scout Pack 11, who's sitting right here, who I spent half an hour with before the meeting. Future leaders of Mount Pleasant, they will come up, face the flag, and lead us in the pledge. So would everyone please rise? Chaplain Prelo.
Can I use the podium?
Please do.
We'll pause for a brief seconds to let our soul commune with God. Dear and merciful Father, we are gathered here in the town of Mount Pleasant. In this assembly, the mayor, the staff, the leaders of this community, we ask God that you communicate to us the things that you desire of this city. We ask, Lord, that you bring stability. And Lord, we ask that you distinguish right from wrong, that they, this group, may make the right decision, not of their own, but that benefits the people of this community, those who will visit, those who are here, those who have a desire to remain. We ask, God, that you continue to bring your wisdom, that they may have the understanding to make a decision to benefit not just for the present, but for the future growth, and for those who desire to reside in the town of Mount Pleasant. We ask, Lord, for the blessing of those who are traveling here far and near. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to look upon our youth for their growth, for they take their rightful place in this community. We ask, Lord, that you would bring peace and your ability, Lord, to allow them to lead in a decent and honor, in an honorable fashion, as we continue to serve humanity in the presence of Almighty God. In his name, amen.
Amen. Pack 11, please come forward. And our flag, as you probably noticed, is right there. So we will wait for your cue.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. How about a hand for these nice men? Please be seated.
I think it's great.
Item number three on our agenda is approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The agenda is approved. Item four, public hearings, awards, and presentations. The first one is the presentation of the Government Finance Officers Association Distinguished Budget Award.
Yes, sir. Good evening. It's my pleasure to present to you the National Government Finance Officers Association Distinguished Budget Award. This award represents a significant achievement by the town and reflects the commitment of you, Town Council, to meet the highest principles in budgeting. In order to receive this award, the town had to satisfy national criteria designed to assess how well the budget serves our citizens as a policy document, as a financial plan, an operations guide, and a communications device. This is the 11th year in which the town has achieved this award. New this year, Town Council's capital program received outstanding ratings from all three national reviewers and has received a special recognition. Currently, no other municipality in South Carolina has this recognition. So thank you for your continued guidance and support to make this goal attainable.
Thank you and your staff.
We just got a great finance committee, that's all.
Next, item B, we have Domestic Violence Awareness Month proclamation. Mr. DeMora.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Good evening. If I could ask Natalie Kalahoff, Maureen Goolsby Favors, or Tasha Connors, if you're present, please join me at the podium and welcome. I believe you're CEO of My Sister's House. Director of Communications.
Director of Communications, that's right. Well, welcome. I will call myself, yes.
Thanks for being here. On your behalf, Mr. Mayor, I'll go ahead and read the proclamation. Whereas October is annually recognized as National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and whereas South Carolina currently ranks sixth in the nation for women murdered by men, of which the majority who knew their attacker were current or former intimate partners, and whereas domestic violence continues to take a significant toll on Charleston, with reports of violence throughout the Lowcountry continuing to escalate in both numbers and severity. Whereas local victim service providers, first responders, medical professionals, educators, and community leaders continue to make marked strides in providing life-saving services to domestic violence victims and their children. And whereas there remains significant work to be done in domestic violence community education, awareness, and understanding in order to create attainable paths to support and safety for all victims. And whereas the town of Mount Pleasant recognizes the critical role each community member plays in supporting and advocating for domestic violence victims' safety and survival. Now, therefore, I, Will Haney, Mayor of the town of Mount Pleasant, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2022 Domestic Violence Awareness Month in the town of Mount Pleasant and encourage all businesses, organizations, and community members to recognize the devastating impact of domestic violence and identify ways to advocate for the safety and survival of their neighbors, colleagues, and friends within our region and beyond. Thank you. Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Domestic Violence Awareness Month comes every year, and it's an incredibly difficult time because we are both celebrating the survivors we serve while recognizing the great need of our community and all of the victims who haven't yet come forward to seek support. So we really appreciate the council and Mayor Haney standing up, standing with us, standing with all of our amazing victim service providers, law enforcement officers, first responders, to declare this proclamation. It is so meaningful to us to have your solidarity in fighting against this horrible, horrible atrocity in our communities. So thank you.
Item C is support your local Chamber of Commerce proclamation.
Okay, and joining us tonight, Michael Cochran, president of the Mount Pleasant Chamber, and Rebecca Imholz, the director, if you'll join me at the podium. Also representing the Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce is Bailey Vincent and Jamie Salone, if you'll join me up here as well. I will go ahead and read the proclamations on your behalf, sir. First, whereas Chambers of Commerce strive to address the community's top challenges and greatest opportunities through bold leadership and innovative problem solving. And whereas Chambers of Commerce foster stronger, more vibrant communities by advocating for priorities to promote economic prosperity, boost quality of life, and create access to meaningful employment and opportunities for all residents. And whereas Chambers of Commerce are champions of communities, serving as a trusted resource for businesses, residents, and other stakeholders. Whereas Chambers of Commerce create catalytic community partnerships to build resilient economies and promote community-wide prosperity. And whereas since 1992, the Mount Pleasant Chamber of Commerce has been encouraging business and community success east of the Cooper and setting the standard to make Mount Pleasant the best town in America to work, live, and play. And whereas The Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce tackles the region's toughest issues, advances the Charleston region, and ensures a healthy business environment with the help of staff and community. The Chamber is looking forward to celebrating 250 years of excellence and service to the Charleston region next year. Now, therefore, I, Will Haney, Mayor of the Town of Mount Pleasant, do hereby proclaim October 19, 2022 as Support Your Local Chamber of Commerce Day and encourage the Town of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina residents to learn more about the Chamber, its impact, and support of local businesses. Thank you very much. Would you like to speak, say a few words, or
We just want to thank all members of council for your continued support, and we look forward to continuing this partnership. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I just want to say thank you for this. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the continued partnership that we have, and we look forward to many more years of partnership with you guys. Thank you so much.
All right, that completes item four on our agenda. Item five is approval of the minutes from September 13th and the August 2022 financial statement.
Move for approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. Item six is public comment. If you signed up when your name is called, please come forward. Name and address. We have the timer. 2.5 minutes, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll call two at a time, please, if you don't mind. Denise Fugo first, and Michael Harrell will be next.
Hello, Mayor, staff, and Town Council. Denise Fugo, 2222 Ashley River Road, West Ashley. I'm here as Executive Director of Housing for Mount Pleasant. I'm here to report that the Thomasina Stokes Marshall Senior Center Low Income Senior Fund has been set up and established at the Coastal Community Foundation with an initial gift of $25,000 from the Tony Berry family. So I just wanted to make you aware it is ready to accept donations, and I will be getting back to the senior staff with Thomasina's updated Senior Board Governance Committee. That's it. Thank you.
Good evening, Council. I'm Michael Harley, 1600 Long Grove Drive in Mount Pleasant. I've come tonight to lodge some information to y'all regarding placement of signs, both businesses and people who are advertising for garage sales, et cetera, and homes for sale, and also political signs. We're getting ready to start the political season again. And my complaint primarily is surrounding the areas of the Veterans Circle and the Children's Circles. I don't believe that any signs should be placed within 100 feet on the approaches and exits out of those circles. I have picked up probably 20 signs over the last year, and most of those being during the political primaries this past spring. But from time to time, I find businesses placements of signs there, and also people advertising for garage sales, etc. I think the town needs to go ahead and have a spokesperson convey to the public what is permissible and what is not as far as placement of signs anytime during the year. And to enforce that, I think that council ought to consider a $25 fine per sign, a $50 fine for a second offense of signs per sign, a $75 for a third offense per sign, and all that money needs to be given to the children's charities and or a veterans charity. This could help them with veterans homelessness, etc. Also, on a fourth offense, I think the offender ought to be sitting in a town vehicle on Saturday, the 12th day of November, riding around and picking up signs all over town. Let's get the town cleaned up after Election Day. That's all I have. Thank you.
Perry Rourke and Lee Lazarus.
Good evening. Perry Rourke, 2004 Brick Kiln Parkway.
First off, I wanted to thank council members, GM Whitley and Johnny Cofano, for the great op-ed in the Post and Courier recently in regards to the recreation referendum. What I would like to ask from the rest of the members of council tonight is we really need your support in getting out and getting the word out about the referendum. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation being spread on social media in regards to the referendum. And we need to really get particularly members of council that supported putting this referendum up for a vote. We really need you to get out there and educate people. That's the other big thing we're finding is a lot of people don't know about the referendum, but once we speak to those people, they are all for the referendum. It's pretty hard, even there being a tax increase, most everybody I talked to is all for it, for what it's going to bring to this town. Some good information for members of council, if you'd like to look it up, Vote for Parks Mount Pleasant is the Facebook page. And you can also visit voteparks.org. Lot of great information there, and it's, you know, we're providing factual information to the residents. So what we're just asking is you get the word out, educate the residents, let them know what's in this referendum, and let's just get the voters informed so they can make a good decision at the time of on voting day on November 8th. Misinformation is a big problem. We need you to get out there and get in front of this as much as you possibly can, and let the voters be informed and make a good decision on November 8th. Thank you.
Lee Lazarus, 247 Palmetto Bluff, Grassy Creek. I addressed you guys last month and some of you also at the Transportation Committee meeting. I'm here just to keep this in your mind and keep this fresh because the residents of Bell Hall, Tidal Walk, and Grassy Creek in particular are in the crosshairs of the SCDOT plan that has been discussed to put an overpass bridge within 200 feet of the closest home in our neighborhood. I can't speak for Tidal Walk, but I'd say that's a pretty accurate number, if not closer, for some of those homes. If I could have the first image, please. Am I in control of this? I don't know how this works, sir. Okay. What you're going to be seeing, whenever that comes up, is the SEDOT provided image. Are you guys doing this, or am I? I'm just trying to figure out. Okay. I just don't want to lose my time. When I came here last time and I showed you an overhead drone shot that I had done on our behalf, it was actually not accurate because it was way off. This is what the SEDOT currently provides. The purple is the current road path, or that's going to be the new proposed path. The black area there is where the new path of Seacoast Parkway is going to push into our neighborhood in Tidal Walk. And the grid pattern is representing the existing path of Seacoast Parkway. If you go to the next image, please, and I encourage you all to look at this. This note basically tells you what it is that they're going to push Seacoast Parkway over, take part of our entrance, take homes in the next neighborhood. Essentially, if you've been down Seacoast Parkway right now, the path shown in their images that are difficult to interpret basically put the path of a concrete overpass bridge right dead in the middle of Seacoast Parkway as it stands right now. So everything is going to get shifted over as a result. Again, we're talking about an elevated bridge. The sole purpose of this is basically to put the rigs that come straight from the port and bypass them a couple of miles and conveniently end right at the end of our neighborhoods, literally at the entrance to our neighborhood. And a truck is 17 feet tall plus. It's my understanding that on an elevated structure, you cannot even build a wall tall enough to break that noise barrier. So it doesn't matter what you put on the wall, even if it's like what you see out of Charleston National, it's 18 feet, it's not going to make a difference. I would request an extra minute since my time was not ready.
We can't. If you have a presentation and there's a thing, it's 2.5 minutes or else we got to
my image. Okay, but my images weren't even up here to show you guys. So, okay.
Apologies.
Next to Lewis Horton and Louisa Montgomery.
I'm Lewis Horton. I live at 138 Live Oak Drive. My wife, Frances, and I built our home there in 1987, moved in just before Thanksgiving, so 35 years now. That places us second row from the marsh with Magwood in between, third row from the creek with Haverhill in between. Our bedroom is at the front corner so that we front on both Magwood and Live Oak. Exterior walls are 6 inches thick and we have insulated glass, yet sound is a problem, music on the weekends. As Brian Hicks, tongue-in-cheek, said, Shrimp Creek used to be a shrimping creek with a drinking problem. Now it's a drinking problem with a shrimping problem. But I'll give you a couple of examples. About 6 weeks ago, we got into bed one weekend night, and the noise was so loud, and we sleep actually with a little white noise machine, that I got up and dressed to go out to see from whence it emanated so I could report it to the police. I walked down Church Street thinking it would be saltwater cowboys or reds, but when I got to the vets, I realized it was coming from the shelter. When I called in to report it, the dispatcher wanted to know the street address of the shelter. I said, I believe any policeman in Mount Pleasant knows where the shelter is, but it's at the intersection of Mill and Coleman. We also, in our backyard, have recently put up an outdoor TV, and we've only two times we've watched at night on the weekend have been Clemson football games. With the sound turned up to the max, we have a hard time sitting 15 feet away hearing the TV because of the music coming through. Don't get me wrong about Shim Creek and the venues. We enjoy those venues. We enjoy where we live. We visit Saltwater Cowboys. We don't go to Red, but we go to the other venues. But anyway, we think that they should be good neighbors and appreciate us. We were there really first, and they've come along. I think we could live with the trial decibels, but certainly no greater. And I'm understanding that there are those on council who are fed up with addressing this issue and want to be over with it. I would urge you to go slow. Also understand there are council members who want no decibels, and there are council members who want 65 decibels. To the latter of you two, or the council members in that group, I wish you were my neighbors so you could share the pain.
I have to call everybody's time the same. It's an ordinance now, 2.5 minutes.
Okay. When you vote on this, I would echo the chaplain's remarks, which I think can be summarized in the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Hi, everybody. I have a question for each of you.
Name and address, please.
Excuse me. You don't know who I am yet?
No, but you got to put it in. You got to put it in.
Louisa Montgomery, Connor Church in Hibben. That's 404 Church. I want to look each one of you in the eyeball. You look at me. Look at me. Will, look at me. Put yourself in our shoes. Suppose you lived there. What would you do? You'd complain, wouldn't you? You'd come to council. You'd come with numbers. Howard, I see you at the gym. I might push you off the treadmill if you don't vote for me. I love that senior citizens gym. But your house is the most expensive thing you will ever own. Well, your car and your children too, but I mean, think about it. You've got to protect the homeowner. Not only the noise, but the confusion of having another alcoholic dispensary on that historic block of Pitt Street. There's some things that cannot be said. And to really say, we have got to have decibels. We've got to have accessible decibels. Now, I'm not talking about children's birthday parties. I'm not talking about leaf blowers. I'm not talking about lawnmowers. I'm talking about drunken partying and loud music that is just off the wall. People's homes, like your home, it's your sanctuary. Now, I know not everybody's in favor of our lower decibels. We hear, we know, gossip gets around, village grapevine is still growing. Think about it. Protect our homes And when the time comes, we'll protect yours if you need us. Thank you for your service.
Jamie Bradham and Eddie Pagan.
I have to follow that. Good evening, council members, Mr. Mayor, Chief Arnold. My name is Jamie Bradham. I live at 338 Hook Lane. I've spoken to many of you before. My good friend and neighbor, Shannon Carter, 334 Hook Lane, couldn't be here, so I'm speaking on his behalf as well tonight. Regarding the noise ordinance, I think we're all finding out this is a complex involving situation. And we're finding out that the originators of the noise in our town are wholly different and unrelated. I think we're finding out that the types of noise pollution that our residents are subjected to are wholly different and unrelated, and they affect people in totally different ways. So, you know, it's very difficult to craft a one-size-fits-all noise ordinance. That all being said, I appreciate the time and effort that y'all have taken and all of us have taken, you know, in helping craft this noise ordinance. But I urge you tonight to vote no or vote deferral on the proposed noise ordinance as it stands. I'm asking you in fairness to our residents and our business owners and the visitors to our town, you know, don't push through an imperfect policy. Send it back to committee. Let's chisel away at it. Let's address some specifics with these noise originators in our town and specific noise pollution. Thank you.
Hello, Eddie Pagan, 1528 Privateer Drive, here about the noise ordinance. And I just want to say I appreciate that you're putting a metric on it. I think decibels is very fair. This is a subject that's important to me because I lost hearing when I was in the service. Just to give you an idea, just sitting here, I saw the decibel ratings go from 50 to 81. You had some really loud clappers. So just so you know that that is the range that I clocked here. I think that, is it defined where these readings are being taken from? I think that's pretty important. Are they being taken inside the establishment? Are they being taken at the property line? Are they being taken from the street? Because this makes a difference. Are they being taken from the gentleman's house? And if the ratings are, I think, anything over 80, I think is atrocious. Not really atrocious, but I feel it. It bothers me. So I just wanted to keep that in mind, that I think 80 is a fair number, and just wanted to throw out, not sure if you defined exactly where those readings are, because I think we need to be fair to the businesses in our town, and we need to be fair to the food and beverage industry, which is struggling. It's been struggling since the pandemic. So I have a lot of friends that rely on live music for their income, and just wanted to share my words with you. Thank you very much.
Catherine Poston and Peter Loris.
Hi, I'm Catherine Poston. I live at 121 Live Oak. I sent you all an email this morning with a link to an Instagram account where I uploaded some videos. And I just want to tell you a little bit about where they came from. I've been in an accident, housebound for a while, but I finally went out and walked around the neighborhood. And I took those videos as I walked and I talked to neighbors. And what I found out was that there's a lot of confusion and a lot of anger about the issue and not knowing how to report it and being frustrated that when they do report it, nothing happens. One question I kept being asked is, you know, when I record it on my iPhone, it doesn't play back like I hear it. So that's, how can we show you how bad it is? Do we have that clip I sent in? So the sound was a bit distorted. You could hear the bass. But when it's live, you feel it. So this was on Hadwell, which is about two blocks away from me. On your map, I'm the blue dot. So I don't hear this. This was around 60 according to my meter, or got up to about 60. I don't hear it at 60. I hear it about 55 at my house. You can see that on the clips. But at 55, it's plainly audible. So when I'm in my home office behind my double pane windows, it's as if somebody's in the room playing the music with me. So think about trying to do taxes or focus on something is extremely difficult. And what brought me to this issue was I had a book club scheduled at my house about a month ago on my back porch. And right beforehand, the music was so loud that I had to call it off. We had to go to someone else's house at Sullivan's. And I have a right to enjoy my back porch. I'd like to add on a front porch. I've got plans to do so. But if I can't enjoy my yard, why would I do that? So I have a lot of other points I'd like to make, but I also want to talk about, I had some experience passing a bill in the South Carolina State Legislature. It was a very difficult bill, but three or four of us were called to sit down with a working group, with the Attorney General and nonpartisan group, and we got a gun bill passed. But that working group was so efficient. And we spent a year doing this. Why not get people that study up on the issue to sit down, have a back and forth, get our questions answered, be able to express ourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Peter Lawrence, 134 Live Oak Drive, and I back up to Shem Creek there. First of all, Will, Council, thank y'all for all the great job you're doing for this community, especially seeing all the other communities across this country, what they're going through. And I just thank God I'm here in this great town. But I'm going to be short and sweet. These are all my neighbors. I live right back behind the Saltwater Cowboy Reds and the whole thing for 24 years. But the only thing I can tell you is loud. And I tell you, Saturday night, I invite each and every one of y'all to come to my house around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and just see for yourself. You're more than welcome. 134 Live Oak Drive. Y'all could come, and you could hear it and see. But thank you.
Kristen Dolberg and Peter Oprah.
Hi, thank you for having me. Kristen Dolberg, 212 Live Oak Drive in Mount Pleasant. I am across from the marsh from Saltwater Cowboys. Now, I just want to start off by saying I enjoy the restaurants and the businesses on Shim Creek. I like live music. However, in recent months, I really do feel like the noise has gotten out of hand. I can hear it over the TV in my living room. It's woken up my kids at night, my kids are here, and if you've ever had kids, young children woken up in the middle of the night, you know how incredibly frustrating that can be. There were a couple of instances in the past few months where I was woken up at 12:30, 1 in the morning with loud bass. I don't know where it might have been from the shelter. I couldn't even pinpoint where it was coming from. I could hear it from both my backyard and I'll walk to my front yard. I could hear it from both sides of my house. So I just encourage you guys to really pay attention to the decibel level, and it's impacting really a lot of neighbors. So thank you.
Good evening, Council. Peter Oprah, 258 Magwood Lane. I'd like to point out first that you saw me limp here on stage. I just got my knee replaced, and so that should give me either bonus points for this talk track or at least a little bit more severity to what I'm going to say here. If any of you know Dr. McCoy, do not tell him I'm here. I should be elevated in bed with my leg up right now, iced. I'm also here to talk about the noise ordinance. I live on the very edge of the marsh. I share maybe about a football field away from Saltwater Cowboys and those restaurants. And like Mr. Horton here, I enjoy a lot of these restaurants many times. We head over there on the golf cart, walk there many times. I do find myself at Red's every once in a while, unlike Lewis here. But we do enjoy our neighbors very much. Now, I too have three children. They all go to Mount Pleasant Academy. They are 5, 8, 9 years old. We actually have our bedtimes based off of the music ordinance today. So the kids get to go to bed at 8 during the school week, but at 9 on weekends because they can't go to bed before 9 o'clock on the weekends. The music is extremely loud. Many times it's great, right? We actually do enjoy going outside because sometimes it sounds like the band is in the marsh. So, you know, if you hear Mr. Lawrence here talking about inviting you over, I'd love to have you over. It is like we are all saltwater cowboys. And sometimes it's fun and we do invite some of our friends over. We don't need to have music because the music is that loud. And it's great sometimes. But people will say, well, you signed up for that when you moved into your house. And I did. I did sign up for this. And I knew what the noise was going to be like. And it's okay. And so what I don't want to do is change it. We don't want it to get any louder. I don't want to push my kids' bedtime to 10 o'clock at night. I don't want to make it any more difficult for them to sleep or any harder or any more difficult for our neighbors as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Mark Neumeyer, Bob Corbett.
Good evening. I'm Mark Neumeyer, 4261 Coolidge Street. I'm here on behalf of Hobcaw Brewing Company. And I'm here on behalf of the noise ordinance as well. And just maybe asking you to, earlier was mentioned, maybe we could come to the table and come to some agreements on some of this ordinance before it's passed. Specifically for us, we do have live music. We try and be very respectful of our neighbors. We only have one single acoustic guitar player. He comes one day a week. It'll be on the weekends. We normally have him from 3 to 6. We try and provide that type of entertainment. It does bring revenue to our business, but it also, you know, there's a musician there that counts on that revenue too, and it provides the entertainment for people. But we do try and be very respectful of the neighborhood and the decibel level. We keep it between 58 and 62 normally, and that's in our facility at the edge of our yard. So I would just ask that if there's some way to modify that or to consider either whether it be times or to come to an agreement on that, I don't think it should be people's kids should be kept awake or anything like that. But I enjoy live music. I think our people do too. And I would ask that you consider that maybe there's a middle ground there that can accommodate. So thank you.
How you doing? I'm Rob Corbett, 1209 Meadow Park Lane. I had a written statement, but I'm throwing it out because I thought of something new about Shem Creek that we need to talk about. So last time I was here, I talked about how much joy live music brings at the right volume. I never want to be too loud. I don't like when bands are too loud. And I think it should be mostly up to the police discretion if a place is too loud. But I keep hearing about Saltwater, where I've played many times. But I'm like an early happy hour background music guy. But something that's happened since the pandemic. So during the pandemic, King Street was very shut down. There was no live music. I'm done with King Street. I haven't played there since the pandemic, and I probably never will again because it's just so out of control now. But all the college kids started coming to Shem Creek that year because they couldn't go out downtown. And so that's why the past 2 years on Shem Creek has gotten so out of control, because then it escalates. Now they have these DJs. You know what I mean? So I totally empathize with everyone near Shem Creek. I think 99% of this thing is about Shem Creek. And also the guy with the brewery on Long Point, when he played that video last time with the band, it was awful. No one, so let me read this one thing I wrote and then I'm done. No one wants a horrible rock band or DJ blasting loud music in their neighborhood. But setting the noise limit at 60 decibels will be a disaster for Mount Pleasant, because 60 is normal conversation. This is the CDC chart. Everyone's seen this in here. It's normal conversation. So the problem is, even if 99% of people in Mount Pleasant use this ordinance responsibly, it only takes one miserable, joyless Grinch to abuse it and ruin the most special days of people's lives. Now, I'm not talking about music. I'm talking about weddings, children's birthday parties, bridal showers, or even just backyard barbecues for college football. Because we've all got that one neighbor that will abuse this. 60 is too low. But also, on the creek, sound bounces more. So it needs to be to the discretion of the police, I believe, because as a musician, sound is different everywhere you play, and the creek magnifies the sound. So 60 in one house over there could be like boom, 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 but 60, you know, across town could be totally different. So I think it should be up to the police. Thank you.
James Scott and Jacqueline Story.
Mayor, members of Council, James Scott, 415 Church Street. Thank you guys for all your hard work on this. And I want to speak about the noise ordinance.
I live at 415 Church Street, so I live right in the heart of the old village. I certainly sympathize with my neighbors on Shim Creek. There are times I can actually hear it as it kind of moves up the creek toward my house. My wife and I also own a bakery in the downtown area at 123 Pitt Street. And so I also approach this as a business owner there. And I think that one of the things that strikes me is that in a lot of ways, this is kind of a solution in search of a problem. You do have a handful of areas in the town that have had these problems, but quite frankly, you have a lot of areas that don't. And that is where I do think the value of having it be subjective is beneficial. So that way, when police roll up on a band at Shim Creek, it is one thing versus rolling up on a kid's birthday party. Give me an example. My next door neighbors had a birthday party a couple Saturdays ago, went outside on the back porch. Not at the property line, just on my back porch, and the reading was 70. That was kids on a jump castle. Now, I'm not going to call the police on that or whatnot, but who's to say somebody isn't going to do that? And if it's written in an ordinance that 70 decibels equals a $500 fine and the police roll up on that, does that mandate then that that house and that birthday party is going to get a fine? If there's subjectivity there, then the police can roll up and say, you know what, it's a kid's birthday party. We're going to let that go. So I do think, and the other thing I'll add too is, businesses, there's no uniformity for businesses in residential. Some businesses are actually pretty far away from residential areas. Others aren't. I mean, our business in the old village is kind of right in the heart there in a little downtown area. So 60 decibels at a property line on our business is very different if you're 15 feet away from it than you are if you're 100 yards away from it, like you might be at one of the businesses on Coleman Boulevard. So by locking in numbers in an effort to try to create sort of concrete things, you actually, in some ways, damage other businesses that don't have that natural buffer. And the last thing I want to say is leaf blowers are an absolute disaster. And so removing leaf blowers, removing construction, removing car mechanics and everything else clearly directs this straight on the backs of the food and beverage business. And that's just simply not fair. I mean, you know, 7 a.m. backpack leaf blower, I hate to say this, far more obtrusive than a handful of people enjoying courtyard dining. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jacqueline Story, 2020 Proximity Drive. I own a Gala Cafe and Bakery over on Pitt Street, and I just want to speak out on the noise ordinance because I just want to make sure that patrons are able to come and enjoy outdoor dining, not talking about anything intrusive. I absolutely agree. You know, I empathize for people if they've got this, you know, music that's just invading their homes. But I hope that council can come up with a reasonable thing that works for everyone and still supports the businesses and musicians that depend on it so much. Thank you.
Carmen Scott and Josh Schapp.
Good evening, Council Mayor. I'm Carmen Scott, 415 Church Street. I also am a co-owner of 123 Pitt Street, where Gala Bakery and Desserts has its business. As you all know, the town's pilot program for the noise ordinance was designed to see if the current ordinance, the ordinance that's in place as we sit here today, needs amending. And if so, what decibel level it needs to be at. And so what the town did was very smart. They did a 90-day pilot program, as you all know. And what was found during that 90-day pilot program? Here are the numbers. The police received, overall in May, over 5,700 calls, not about noise, just calls in general. 14 of those were noise ordinance violation calls. 9 of those were officer checks. So the officers would go out and check the noise on their own. Of those checks, both those complaints by citizens and the officer checks, the highest reading was 70, the lowest was 49, and the average was 62. During the month of May, this is just May, multiple complaints regarding Wando Stadium were by one resident. They actually made up most of the complaints that month. In June, that number went down to 8 noise complaints, 8. In July, just 2 citizen complaints. Now, the way the ordinance is written now is subjective, and it does allow these egregious things that you've heard about today in prior meetings, these awful situations, it does allow the police to come and issue fines based on their findings. So what are we doing here? What are we fixing? What problem is there that we're trying to correct? I don't think there is one, and I think that the possibility of a new ordinance with set-in-place decibel orders
decibel numbers has the effect of having more harm on these businesses than correcting a problem that doesn't exist. Thank you.
Hello, Josh Schapp, 413 Coleman Boulevard. Just came to oppose the noise ordinance at 60 decibels. Thank you.
Charlie Chance and Bill Deitch.
Go ahead. Good evening, everybody. My name is Charlie Chance. I'm with Red Rum Restaurant, and my partner Ben Berryhill could not be here today. Of course, he's at the restaurant holding down the fort because someone's got to do that, as you guys well know. I am here today actually also to oppose the current proposal for the noise ordinance. We have owned the restaurant for 17 years, and we actually are in the interesting position that we are also our own restaurant owner, but also our own neighbors. We actually live back on Powhatan. I live in Old Village Landing. And so I really, truly do empathize with what you guys are saying. We actually have to coexist with the people that live right on the edge of the Old Village. And since we live back there, we actually also have to be good neighbors. So when we go home and we hear complaints about possibly parking-related issues, we all know that's a big one, noise in general, that we have to live and coexist with our neighbors. I feel like for the past 17 years, and we've had live bands as well at the restaurant, and when things were a little loud for our neighbors and we don't want them to be uncomfortable, the police would come by. They would ask us to lower the music, shut the windows, and we would comply. So to me, it seems as though the 60 decibel ordinance proposed does seem to be quite low, considering the fact that that it could be purely people just dining on the patio. Quite frankly, in our case, actually, most people probably don't hear people dining on the patio because there's probably more noise coming off Coleman Boulevard, quite frankly, with kids with their Carolina squats and their big loud mufflers. So that being said, my bigger concern too is that I feel like I'm not here just to represent myself as a restaurant owner. I'm here to represent all businesses. For example, I was grilling at my house two weeks ago, and I heard at 8:45, I heard loud cheers coming from the ball fields at Mount Pleasant Academy. Well, to me, that's a beautiful sound. That's the sound of America. It's the Norman Rockwell painting that we live in. Now, you are not living that, obviously, over on Shem Creek. And another point being is that we have a charity event that we do every October for 400 people attend, and we raise $300,000 for our charity event called Operation Home. All that money goes into home repair needs to the Tri-County area. So that goes till 10 o'clock at night. What is going to happen with that?
Let me stop you real quick. Is the timer working?
Well, I'm keeping it here.
Okay. Cool. Time is up. Okay. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for everything you guys do.
Thank you.
My name is Bill Deitch. I live at 216 Bennett Street, and I'm here to support the idea of a 60 decibel standard. I mean, this has been characterized as a solution in seek of a problem, but I think you've heard very clearly from people who are deprived of the quiet enjoyment of their homes by what is a real problem. And the fact is that responsible business owners, as we've just heard, are prepared to ameliorate the concerns of their neighbors by toning it down. The hundreds of ordinances around the country which use 55 to 60 decibel standards do not appear to create any real concerns on the part of businesses. Businesses learn to deal with those things. And the fact is that, as we've heard, businesses can deal with it. So I don't think there's any, I would in fact say that what we're hearing from those who are in with favor and subjective ordinance is that there is a fear which is hardly justified by the reality of what goes on in most of the country, which has ordinances which have been around for a long, long time without imposing any severe restrictions on business owners. And the fact is that, as with all other kinds of ordinances, the police in enforcing them do have discretion. It may not be a subjective standard, but if it's a child's birthday party, if it's a one-time celebration, it's very unlikely that there would be any enforcement action. And I think we all know the reality there. Thank you.
Ben Toll and Mike Tinkey.
Ben Toll, 228 Forest Trail. I'm the owner of the post house. And thank you for your time and your effort on this. And I'm here to oppose the proposed ordinance. Just want to speak a little bit about, as a restaurant owner, I think this has been an incredibly divisive issue. And I think what it's done, if you look at what Charlie was saying, I know on behalf of Post House, it's actually created, we had some noise issues at the beginning coming out of the pandemic. Our neighbors came forth and said, guys, things are too loud. We understand you've been through the pandemic. We understand you've got a lot of outdoor dining, and we need you to rein this in. And we said, great, let's get together. Let's have a discussion. Let's see how we can fix this. We did. We sat around the table. We invited the chief to Post House to discuss some of the issues. We put soundproofing on the back fence. And so I think the noise ordinance that is in place encourages people to get together, solve the problem. I also feel for the folks who are dealing with the noise issues that they are, and they can call the police, and they should call the police, and they should log that, and the businesses should be fined if they are violating the existing ordinance. And I think there is something in place. The proposed ordinance as is written, 60 decibels, will create issues between neighbors and businesses time and time again, because there will be one neighbor or two neighbors who just want to come out on a Tuesday night with their decibel reader. As soon as you go above 62, they're going to call the police. We have dealt with a pandemic. We have dealt with inflation. We have dealt with a staffing crisis. I also spent hours and hours and legal fees coming here over the last 3 to 6 months. And we're here tonight. I've got half my team here tonight. We've got better things to be doing. I feel the existing ordinance allows people to get together and deal with the problem in their neighborhood, in their district. And I think the proposed ordinance will just create tension amongst neighbors, and that's not good for anyone. Thank you.
Mike Tinkey, 208 Benning. The amount of divisiveness, dissension and dissatisfaction tonight, plus over a year of trying to amend what in many people's opinion was a deeply flawed process with the initial draft put forth with little public input in drafting this initial proposed ordinance demonstrates that no matter what amendments may be drafted tonight, few people will be happy and you will leave the community deeply divided. The slides I have on up front certainly defend the 55 or 60 ordinance amount. You see it's more, we're average with 55 or 60. If you go to the next page, you can see that cities like Pinehurst, Myrtle Beach, believe it or not, Denver, Colorado, and all of Australia are at 55. And we also know that increasing logarithmically to 65 would be very difficult. That said, there are proponents for higher decimal levels or the existing ordinance, and therefore, and they're deeply dissatisfied if we go, and we'd be deeply dissatisfied at 65, they'd be deeply dissatisfied at 60. Therefore, please vote down the proposed ordinance or defer the proposed ordinance. It may be simpler just to vote it down and then work together, because I concur with Carmen and I confer with Ben on this, we can work through those ordinances together. The Mount Pleasant Police Department can
sit down and do a weekly testing in multiple properties of adjacent venues, and we can work with Chief Arnold, Office of Livability, and other parties to improve it. Also, we can look at the hours of operation, plainly audible language, and many other things. But the overall goal is good neighbors, and we will not have good neighbors if something's passed tonight. I can tell you that, and unfortunately. So I think we can be good neighbors when we work together, because we've done it with the post house, and that's worked very well. So I encourage you to defer or to vote down the proposed ordinance, because proposed ordinance will not achieve good neighborliness, and there's too many issues to solve tonight when they can be addressed if we work together and take a little more time. Thank you.
Chris Coleman.
I'm going to speak from different remarks, Ms. Barrett. I appreciate you taking my original one. Chris Coleman, 118 Pitt Street. Let's start with a very simple proposition. The existing ordinance is unenforceable. It's completely unenforceable. The chief has gotten up here many times and said, I've issued two tickets in years and years and years. You can't do anything with a standard like that. So I realize this is a difficult and controversial topic, and many people are not happy at 60 decibels, but it is reasonable. 60 and 55, you saw the chart, most common standards in this region and in the nation. Of 41 ordinances in this region, 22 chose 55 or 60, only 6 chose 65, and very few chose anything over that. The national standard is 90 ordinances chose 50 or 55 or 60, only 25 chose 65 or over. I sent counsel Les Blomberg's comments on this ordinance. 60 is too high in his opinion in most cases. He's the national expert on this. And both 55 and 60 are achievable. Mount Pleasant used 55 decibels as a trial period level. Myrtle Beach and Columbia use 55 citywide. Fort Mill and many others use 60 decibels. There haven't been a mass exodus or business shutdowns, and I haven't seen the elimination of birthday or pool parties in those places. Don't be confused, the normal conversation. 65 decibels is not normal conversation. 65 will address only the most egregious instances. So let's take a look at some of the things you've seen and why you don't want to go higher than 60. You've seen Shannon Carter's videos. Some of those videos, and you can hear this really loudly on his property, are levels below 65. The same thing Catherine Poston showed you is a video that shows 55, 58, 61. 65, no help for the people along the Shem Creek corridor. They need a real ordinance that's set below 65. Please remember that a decibel scale is not linear, because a 5-decibel increase in noise is 50% louder. Studies show that 65 decibels will severely annoy about 35% of the listeners. Passing 65 won't protect the town citizens and people you've heard testify, so please don't legalize an ordinance that's harming people. Okay. Let me close quickly by saying that I ask you not to vote this ordinance down, but I do agree with many people that say that we need to discuss this a bit further, and perhaps it's best to defer it so we can come up with a comprehensive standard. Hire Mr. Bloomberg. Bring this guy in here. We need to build a consensus. We need to get past the bitterness and divisiveness of this. I thank you for your time, and I appreciate what you've done. That's all I have, sir.
Is there anyone that was not able to sign up that wishes to speak? All right, please come forward, name, address. 2.5 minutes, please.
Hi, my name is Sean Maher. I'm at 1117 Mainland Court. I'm the general manager of Saltwater Cowboys, which you've heard that name a lot tonight. As far as the noise ordinances go, I don't have a single objection to a noise ordinance, nor a single objection to the levels that you guys are proposing. On the far side of the creek, when you go over the creek, I'm actually in constant contact with one of the residents there that tells us that we absolutely follow the 55 decibels, but the bass is something that he can feel inside his house. So we are working diligent with him. He has my cell phone number. He texts me when we break those limits. And even though we are acceptable within the town ordinance, obviously he cannot enjoy his home. So we have done some things to make that more accessible, more enjoyable for him to be at home where we can't. I heard some things coming from Old Village that disturbed me only because I wasn't as aware of them, because I have been aware on the other side. And what we are, we stopped playing music past 9 p.m. in the front of the restaurant that pointed towards Village. And obviously 9 p.m. is too late for some. And I would encourage anyone to come talk to us about things that we can do, like moving to an acoustic with no speakers or things like that, because we are more than happy to work with anyone. And we would like the opportunity to go ahead and fix this problem by figuring different things out that we can do. We've already hired a sound expert. We've actually asked the gentleman across the creek to coordinate with him so he could do a test to make sure that these decibel levels fall within the town limits, and more importantly, the bass doesn't intrude on his personal life. So I think by working together, we can. If I was a little bit more aware of some of these complaints that were the other direction, I was more focused on the other one to the DJs. But I would love to, and I think I have enough business cards to pass out to everyone, that I would absolutely talk to them and try to find that middle ground, because that's what we want to do. We want to be good neighbors. As much as we like the tourist business visits, everyone here is 365 a year. They're part of our business as well, and we want to be good neighbors. So anything I can do to facilitate that, I will. So thank you.
Next, please.
Good evening. My name is Eva Suarez. I reside at 898 Ashley Avenue, and I oversee Basic Projects Hospitality in their operation of Post House. I'm here to speak in favor of keeping the existing ordinance, which has been in effect for over 10 years without issue, or conducting a three-month study to determine a more reasonable decibel level, as I believe that 60 decibels is too low. I feel that we can come to a reasonable agreement that is fair to both business owners and residents of the town of Mount Pleasant. The amended ordinance as it is written does not yet achieve this standard of fairness. A decibel level as low as 60, equating to a conversation from 3 feet away, will stifle outdoor dining in our commercial districts and enable ceaseless complaints, threatening the sustainability of the business with fines, not to mention creating a significant financial impact for its employees. We ask that you either move to keep the existing ordinance in place or defer today's vote and work with the interested parties to host a roundtable discussion for a solution that works for us all. With a three-month trial period, measuring decibel levels consistently and at a variety of locations in the town of Mount Pleasant, and with results shared publicly, we can determine a decibel level that is representative of the town versus a small subset. Thank you for your time.
Next, please.
My name is Jeremy Graves. I live at 1710 Atlantic Avenue. I am one of Ben's partners in the Post House. And I just want to speak quickly. We saw some charts that referred to 55 and 60 decibel limits. And I do want to point out that those are residential limits. And what we're talking about is commercial uses. You know, the Post House, as we all know, has been in operation in hospitality for over 30 years, and the district itself has existed at least as long as the town has existed, if not before, in a commercial use. And I think that our neighbors would tell you, we're happy to work with everyone around us and have continually improved, I think, that process as it relates to sound. But I think that at 60 decibels, you're talking about deputizing neighbors and potentially eliminating any and all outdoor dining, which on the heels of a pandemic seems crazy. So we would ask, or I would ask that also you defer for a workshop the vote tonight. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anna Young. I reside at 1491 Kinlock Lane in the Fox Pond neighborhood of Mount Pleasant. I'm the Inn and Events Manager at Post House. I'm here to speak in favor of either keeping the existing ordinance or conducting a three-month study to determine a more reasonable decibel level, as I believe 60 decibels is too low. Post House is not only a part of the Old Village community for date night, a drink after work, or family dinner,
We've also hosted countless events, including some of the most special intimate weddings that I've had the pleasure of planning. These special occasions would not be possible with the updated ordinance, which is the equivalent of a conversation 3 feet away. We are always mindful of the impact on our neighbors, both in the planning and execution of these special occasions. However, the expectation of near silence in a commercial district is not something appealing to guests who want to incorporate our neighborhood into their lives by hosting their wedding at Post House. It would be a true loss to suspend hosting these celebratory occasions after 30 plus years of being a go-to in the community. We ask that you defer today's vote and that we work as a community to find a solution that ensures a comfortable neighborhood while also allowing Post House and the other businesses to continue to be a part of the makeup of Old Village. With a 3 month trial period measuring decibel levels consistently throughout the town of Mount Pleasant, I know we can determine a decibel level which is fair to all parties. Thank you for your consideration, and here's to keeping Post House an active member of the Mount Pleasant community.
Next, please.
My name is Cheryl Shown. I reside at 241 Middle Street, Mount Pleasant. I'm here in my individual capacity, and many of you have had the distinct displeasure probably of hearing me once or twice before speaking on behalf of my client. I can tell you that Mr. Towle and Mr. Graves speak the truth when they represent to you that they've spent time and money, because I represent that. They have worked very hard. I've also been contacted by many other food and beverage businesses in the area who are incredibly concerned about the low decibel level and the lack of distinction between a commercial area and a residential area, as well as a reading that once it hits 60 decibels, it's immediately an infraction without any sustained reading on that whatsoever. And what I would just ask this council to do is please not continue the search for a problem because there's a proposed remedy. Let's not deputize our neighbors, as Mr. Graves indicated. Let's not sanitize our town. Let's not get rid of birthday parties and wedding receptions and bridal showers, outdoor luncheons and barbecues. Let's keep the current ordinance in place, and I thank you.
Next, please.
Good evening. I'm Charlie Carmody. I live at 107 New Street in the Old Village of Mount Pleasant, and I love it there. I love the town of Mount Pleasant. I think that 60 decibels is too low. I like to eat outdoors. I like to eat at the Post House. I like to eat at Red's. I'm not Red's, but I like to eat at Red Drum. Sorry. I didn't mean to diss Red's.
All of them. We anyway, like to eat at all of them.
Saltwater Cowboy. I think 60 decibels is too low. I think these businesses are struggling already. Outdoor dining is a beautiful thing, particularly since we've been through a pandemic. We ought to continue to be able to do that. Thank you very much.
Anyone else to speak, please? Last call for public comment. All right. Public comment is closed. That was item number 6. Item number 7 on our agenda is consent agenda items. Do we have a motion to approve consent agenda items A, B, and C?
So moved.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Is there any discussion?
I do, Mayor. I just have a question.
Yes.
Michelle, hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Item A, those parcels are coming in as R1.
The Rifle Range Willow mm-hmm. Pond. No, those will come in as community conservation, which is what the future land use designates those for, the settlement community.
Okay.
And so the CC zoning is that automatic zoning they will get.
And I just heard from a couple of residents over the last few days that were concerned about that pond. That pond, are there any plans to move that pond or?
None that we have been presented with.
Okay.
I think two of these parcels have single-family residences. The rest are vacant. But as of now, this is just a annexation, and we don't have any development proposal.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mayor, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
The intersection of Willow Pond and Rifle Range, what is the distance between those two intersections?
Oh, goodness. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry.
But it's,
Yeah, Hamlin.
Yeah, you mean from here?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I'm not sure, Mr. Chapman. Because it's existing, it's not something we looked at. Obviously, if there was a proposed access there, we would look at that distance. Actually, now our ordinance refers to the ARMS manual, SCDOT. But because it's existing, I couldn't tell you.
If we have any way to shift that somehow, because okay. It's very close.
Mm-hmm.
It's very okay. close to Hamlin. That intersection of Hamlin Rifle Range is very busy with the school mm-hmm. on Hamlin. So
I would say that's if they come forward with a development proposal, that was something that our transportation department would look at.
Thank you.
Okay, the motion is to approve consent agenda items A, B, and C. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
Final reading, consent agenda items A, B, and C.
We are now in section 7, which is planning A, new business number 1, which is another annexation.
Yes, sir. This is
second.
We have a motion to approve. Again, this is only an annexation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a motion and a second to approve. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
First reading, ordinance number 22054.
Item 2, please.
Motion to approve.
Sorry, we keep interrupting you.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, who was the second on that?
Mr. Iacono. This is the amendment of the Watermark Plan Development District Ordinance. Motion to approve and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
First reading, ordinance number 22055.
Let me remind everyone, these are all first readings, and they have to come up for second reading. Item number 3, please.
This is a text amendment that came out of the planning committee.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Please tell us exactly what it is.
Our existing ordinance has, there's a provision for the Workforce Housing Exemption Grant Program. The current term of affordability, so it would be protected to be affordable for 10 years. We've been pretty fortunate that our last development at Gregory Ferry chose to do a 75-year deed restriction. And so this proposal would put it more in line with what you typically see for the life of a mortgage, which is 30 years.
Okay. I spoke with our attorney about this. You know, this term has evolved from workforce mm-hmm. to attainable, but in our ordinance, it does say workforce.
Yes, sir, it does. And we actually have some staff looking into right now. There are a lot of terms used. Typically, we use them interchangeably. We do, and as we go through the code rewrite, that's certainly something we can look at changing. We want to make sure that there's no unintended consequences with regards to HUD, how right. they define things and funding, and we're looking at that, but we right. will be looking to revise that.
Appreciate it. Thank
yeah.
you very much.
You're welcome.
That's an important, there's a lot of misperceptions of what attainable housing and workforce housing is, and we just want to clear that up. All right, we have a motion to approve. We have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
First reading, ordinance number 22056.
Yes.
I recuse myself from this.
Got it.
First one.
Which one?
Item 4.
Item 4.
Okay, item 4. Thank you very much. Let me make note of that.
Yeah, I'll wait for you to get it.
Thank you for doing it the right way, too. I appreciate that. Item number 4, please.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And I have something to say.
Go ahead.
Yes, we have a motion. We have a second. We're in discussion. Madam Chair.
So at the planning committee meeting, what we decided to do was to table some of the more controversial issues, the things that have just been raised by STRAMP and some other things with the STRs, and focus on that in committee. But in the meantime, we had an issue with the way that the ordinance was written to where our cap of 400 has been exceeded, based on the way applications were submitted. And so the only changes that would take place in this STR ordinance at this time, based on this first reading, is pertaining to the cap and application deadlines in order to allow our staff to sort of work towards getting ourselves back down to that cap and not have it be sort of a ratchet upward.
Got it.
So that's what's before us today, and the planning committee is going to be taking up very seriously the remainder of the issues that were in this ordinance in the original first reading last month.
Thank you very much. All right, any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
First reading, ordinance number 22052.
All right, that completes Section A, new business. Section B, old business. There are no old business planning items. Section 9, committee action items. A is Health, Recreation, and Events Committee. Let me turn this over to the chair lady. Yes, ma'am.
All right. We had a discussion at committee about including county residents in the town of Mount Pleasant with a contribution from the county to help them pay fees to enjoy our recreation offerings. So I wanted to pose this as a motion that the Health, Recreation, and Events Committee recommends a request from Town Council to Charleston County Council for operational support of $50,000 per year to provide full access to Mount Pleasant Recreation Department activities at the resident rate for Charleston County residents residing within the unincorporated areas of Mount Pleasant.
All right.
Second.
That's motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this mean that they would pay, that the residents of the county would pay the resident rate and the differential would be made up by the county request? And what is it currently?
No, ma'am.
Mr. DeBond.
They would pay the current resident rate. And so what this would do is we factored what we currently have, what we currently receive in terms of revenue from those who are more or less inside of Mount Pleasant proper but are in a donut hole in the county, much like we have grade school students going to school with other kids who are in the town, receive the resident rate, but they have to pay double. We calculated that, had an amount, and we believe $50,000 of a contribution from the county will be enough for us to charge the same rate to everyone.
All right, thank you.
All right. Any further discussion?
Yeah, yes, sir. Just to help Ms. Whitley, I've been in discussion with Councilmember Sass in Charleston County, and this was done back in 2017 or maybe a little earlier, but anyhow, for 3 years after the Thomasina Stokes Marshall Senior Center was open, county paid the difference between the city rate and what we would have been charging the county. County paid that difference. For whatever reason, that fell away. I brought this to the committee, and it was suggested that we should do this not just for senior citizens, but also for the children that use our facilities as well, because there's some issue, obviously, with kids that are going to school together. They might be a resident of Mount Pleasant, and they might be living in the county. And the county child, you know, feels left out because their parents might not be able to afford that full rate, so they get stopped. So the idea was, not just for the Thomasina Stokes Marshall Senior Center, but also for all of the recreation facilities that we make that ask. And I have notified Councilmember Sass that would be coming to full council. Whether or not they approve it, I don't know. But I'm going to make some calls, I can tell you that. Hopefully it will, because it follows hand in hand with our desire to work with the settlement communities. It's just part of and a part of what we're trying to do with the settlement communities.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I was fortunate enough as the chair of the Education Committee to visit all the principals, and especially at the Bell Hall Elementary. And I think Mr. Chapman and I spoke about this maybe about 6 months ago, but it was brought up with the principals that it is a very difficult thing for the children to see their friends signing up for the rec, our awesome rec department basketball baseball and things of that sort, and their family may not be able to, they could afford this rate, but they can't afford the higher rate. So I am I appreciate that you all brought this up, and hopefully that hopefully it'll go through. So thank you.
Great. Yes, sir.
Mr. Randall. So one follow-up question. Is this, is this income-based at all, or even very wealthy people who just refuse to annex into the town would also have access to this? Because while, yes, they'd be paying the same resident rate for the fee, what they're not paying for is all the costs that have come out of folks' taxes to actually build the facilities. And I have no problem with our low-income youth having access to it, but I kind of have a problem with folks who just don't want to annex into the town, and they're perfectly capable of doing so. So I don't know.
It is not included at okay. this time.
Okay.
All right. Yes, sir.
Chief.
Everybody
turn here. Here we go. Now, Mr. DeMore, this is actually a question. You reached for clarification. We're talking about those who live in the county east of the Cooper with a Mount Pleasant address. We're not talking all of Charleston County.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to clarify.
Mayor, just.
Yes.
Would it be super difficult to include an economic scale to that application? A scholarship sort of way of doing it?
I would ask you not to. Okay. Administratively to request and review tax returns and mm-hmm. information, and I don't think we should be for this particular purpose.
Yeah, so and I hear you 100%, but schools are asked to do that, right, to get free and reduced lunches and stuff like that, and it's just it's a form, and I don't even know that they have to attach any. It's kind of like an honor system, my understanding. But all right, thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? All right, the motion was long, but it is to approve the request where the county will reimburse us $50,000 a year for non-town residents using our recreation facilities. Yes, sir.
Can I ask to be this be placed? I understand we're probably going to approve it, but further discussion of what we were just talking about on the recreation agenda for this coming month of some income requirement or how that might work.
Right. But that's not the motion we're voting on.
No, that's
right
not the now. Motion we're voting on. I get that.
Yes, sir. And that's not an amendment, but yes, sir.
Just this is a motion to send a letter. And so if this type of.
Oh, this is not to. Yeah, understood. You're right.
If it resulted in a change, I suppose the county would want to know those details before considering the request.
Understood. So, this is not a first and second reading. That's fine. Okay.
All right. All right. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Motion passes. Section 10, Council Business, New Business 1 is adoption of a resolution authorizing the lease purchase agreement with Truist Bank in the amount of $3.375 million. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Cato.
Yes, good evening again.
Move for approval.
Second.
All right. We have a motion to approve and a very nice good evening from our Director of Finance. Are there any questions or any discussion? Just briefly, this is for the lease purchase of?
There are two. They were, you approved the intent in our budget, and we indicated the large vehicles and then a ladder truck. And they're all replacement.
Got it. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is approved unanimously.
It's resolution 22101.
Thank you. Number two.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve and a second. This is has to do with releasing land on the land side of Harry Holman Boulevard near our waterfront park.
Yes, correct.
Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is approved. You want to read?
I'm sorry, sir. It's resolution 22102.
Thank you very much. Number three.
Move to defer.
Move to defer.
Number three.
We're on the language clarification. This is the
I
language.
I thought we were on.
Number three.
Oh, I thought we were on noise. My bad.
I withdraw my motion.
Thank you.
I move to approve. Item number three.
Second.
To approve.
That's okay.
Doesn't matter. To approve, all this does is to, and this is first reading, the language that we have about public speaking time, it makes it fluid throughout all so that all public bodies, if I'm correct, Mr. Attorney, that all boards, commissions, we're all doing the same thing.
Correct, and it solidifies the appeal process for the provision that was passed by council that indicates priority, potential priority for agenda items and speakers.
Got it. All right. Yes, sir.
This is going from 3 to 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
No, sir, that's been done, but this is right. It solidifies for all boards and commissions in the town, as well as council, as well as I said, solidifies the appeal process for the ability to prioritize agenda speaking items over non-agenda items.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
So just real quick, I'm sorry. So it takes not only the agenda and non-agenda, it takes the 2.5 minutes all the way to all commissions and committees.
Well, sir, I believe that's what the intent was.
Okay.
And just so council understands, there are two separate ordinances that deal with council and with the rest.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what was brought before council was solely the council version. And so this is as much a corrective measure as anything else to make sure that that's included.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right. By a vote of 7-2, the ordinance passes first reading.
First reading, ordinance number 22057.
Section B, old business, final reading.
Move to defer.
Motion to defer. Is there a second, please?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Yes, sir.
I enjoyed hearing everyone's comments on both sides of this issue tonight. And what I feel like I heard from both sides is that people would really like the opportunity for there to be some sort of roundtable discussion as opposed to just continued meetings where people come and speak. We can't speak back. And then it's hard to get people to everybody to understand each other's differences. So this is not part of the motion. Obviously, it's just being deferred back to committee again, but I definitely would love to see committee discuss some idea to where there can be some sort of workshop or roundtable discussion on the issue where we can invite neighbors in.
Yes, sir. Good sentence.
Yeah, Mayor. This all started some time ago when we had an issue about the noise ordinance, and I went over to Saltwater Cowboys and talked to Wade Bowles about it, and he had some great ideas. He's the one that came up with a decibel meter. That we had when we came over to the town and met with town staff about it. And he's been working diligently to try and make sure that he doesn't offend his neighbors and all, like a lot of you heard some of the other people say as well. I'm all for let's looking at it closer before we do anything. I think it's very important for people's quality of life to make sure that they can not have a lot of noise. But then again, I think different areas might be able to have 60, maybe 65. I don't know, but I think before we pull the trigger on this, so to speak, we take one more good look at it. I think that's what our citizens want to do: take one more good look at it, and then we need to move on it. And I'm not in favor of letting the police come and make a decision. I think the chief, I think you've said this before, it needs to be a law, and they need to enforce that law. Period. But not have the ability to say yes or no.
May I ask for clarification as the chair of the Police Judicial and Legal Committee? The motion didn't say that next month it has to be on the agenda. What we're asking for is to let the community do some work. We know where the touch points and the pressure point is on this. And can we agree before we vote that the committee will bring it up when the town has had the opportunity to work together that they've asked for, rather than us just rushing to get this on the Monday before a general election next month? Is that?
Yes, sir.
Is that the intention? Okay.
I think you need to put a time limit on it, though. I mean, I wouldn't say 3 months or whatever. We've been studying this thing to death, and so I think maybe a month or so we can look at it. But I think we need to pull, you know, we need to do something that some citizens they want relief from this, and I know the restaurants and all as well. They want relief as well, but I think we've studied it a lot. I don't think we need to just let it go on. We need to put a time limit so they can know what we're going to do.
Councilman Rich. Yes, sir. You have the floor.
I appreciate it. This has been going on a while. I mean, we started off with our 90-day pilot program where we got input from our residents, our citizens. We heard from them. Now, if we're going on a year, I'm very pro-business. I'm very pro-neighborhood. It's obvious. You know, I'm one of those neighborhoods that lives near the airport. I love hearing the airplanes. I love hearing Wando High School. Hearing the band, hearing the loudspeakers. So I understand and appreciate all the comments that have been coming through. But also, as for your former chief, law enforcement, and supporting our chief and our police department, the previous ordinance, it was way too objective for the police department, that they didn't have boundaries. It was kind of, they go there, they've had complaints, let's listen, we'll make a decision. I clearly believe once a decibel level is determined, whether it's 60, 55, 60, whatever that number is, and I've heard it over and over again for almost the past year, our businesses are going to work with our residents. They're going to adapt, in my opinion, to what we as a council finally vote on, you know, for an ordinance. I hear it repeatedly. Will we have violators? Of course. I think that's where this decibel level, whatever that may be, is going to help us. And yes, our police department, I've heard it many times, and I know Chief Arnold, he and I have talked about it, and they will have discretion. No one's going to go after a child's birthday party. You know, that's just simply not going to happen outside our police department. We're not going after a wedding reception on a Hamburg Hall out there in a beautiful field. It's not happening. This is for those businesses that are so, or your neighbor that is so loud with the garage band or wherever it is, that is taking away your right to enjoy your home. Okay. Having said that, you know, how do we come up with this task force? Are we as town government going to facilitate that, or are they going to pick their own, form their own task force? And I've heard it over and over tonight as before. This has become very divisive. I think even neighbors they may agree on some points and they're not agreeing on other points. So it's even people who are close are even divided. So are we gonna get to this consensus with this group? And I guess I'm trying to understand how are we gonna come to that? And Mr. Pagliarini, maybe that's something, sir, I should ask you. Maybe that's a parliamentarian type situation, and I'd love to hear from you. Before I yield, I need to...
Please, Mr. Pagliarini.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. I think going back to committee, and I believe the motion was to defer, and at least with the charge, that committee decide an appropriate forum. I think there are a number of ways. First, the committee could set up basically a roundtable. All of this, of course, would be a public meeting. It would be noticed. And, you know, you'd have sort of a general public. The more complicated way of doing it is an ad hoc committee, which we've done in the past. And of course, that would require appointments and all those. That, to Councilman Santos' point, that would probably take a while. So I do believe there is an informal way of doing it at a public meeting as more of a Q&A rather than, as the mayor said, people speaking and not being.
And that would be something at which there's no votes, but we're hearing information and we're hearing solutions. Yes, sir. You still have a floor.
And Mr. Pagliarini, I asked you during this, we just passed ordinance a little while ago on the time limits for our speaking. That's going to apply to that type of meeting as well. So it'd be same as our 2.5 minutes now that we've heard from these great people who've done their homework. They've looked into it. So are we going to hear same thing at the same time limit?
Well, the provision always is that that committee has the opportunity to vote, and as a mechanism. So you may not want any one person to have more time than that, but it does set up a Q&A to where the committee can respond.
No, I'll yield for now. I may have to come back.
Okay. Mr. Iacofano?
Oh, yeah. I've got like 100 hours into this. I've been all up and down Shem Creek. I've met plenty of neighbors on this, and, you know, my decibel level is probably pretty high for those that, because I don't want people getting tickets that don't deserve tickets. I mean, bass is really a big thing, right? I've seen the sound levels from 58 to 62, and I've seen 55, and it's louder than 65 because of the bass. The big thing is all I ask for, if this is going to be deferred, can we do a special council meeting? Can we all just show up for 3 hours, walk outside, have some speakers set up, and let's just do this together? I mean,
I just ask you all, let the committee put our heads together and figure out how to do this, and let's not try to broker meetings tonight. Let's either defer or don't. That's what I'm asking. Okay. We've had an hour and a half of public comment tonight, so the motion is to defer. Yes.
So, as Mr. Councilman Ritchie has acknowledged, we've been working on this for a year. We've already done a 90-day pilot program. And based on the comments that I've seen from the public, there is not going to be a meeting of the minds. I don't see an ad hoc committee or a roundtable discussion resulting in any sort of compromise that is going to be satisfactory to either side of this. I think as the council, we need to pick a decibel level, set it, pass the ordinance, give our police officers a guideline. As Councilman Ritchie said, they still have discretion. You know, if a kid's birthday party is spiking at 68 decibels periodically, they're not going to give them a ticket. And I think an ordinary conversation on a patio is not going to generate a ticket, but 10 hours straight of live music peaking at 65 decibels is going to generate, if they don't turn it down, that's going to generate a fine. So there's still discretion involved. I don't see what deferring this is going to gain us as a council as far as information that will help us come to a decision. I think this is just, to borrow a phrase of another council member, kicking the can down the road.
Okay, let me, and as chair of the committee, please indulge me for a second. It's not just the decibel level. We have a lot more work to do on the times. We have a lot more work to do on Section C, the maximum, and we need to improve and distinguish human activity from amplified. Section D, excessive noise is prohibited outright. And so how does the decibel level occur to that, apply to that? Number F, Section F, proximity. How do we specify that? I is duration. How do we specify that? Section E, amplified sound prohibited, but at what level? And I, we have exceptions. One is if the sound remains in a building, but we've got to decide, okay, what if you're the tenant next door? I've been in one that had a workout studio next door, and when they cranked up the music for the jazzercise, and that's probably a 1980s term that dates me, but you know what I'm talking about. Whatever it is now, where you crank up the music and sweat, you know, if that tenant can't do their business and it was an insurance agency, the current wording doesn't specify that. And then D, Section I, exceptions, D mentions sounds and activities normally associated with uses in our special events, parades, public demonstrations, for which a temporary permit has been issued pursuant to chapters 94 and all that. I think we need to clarify some of that. So let's not fool ourselves that it's only the decibel level that we've got work to do. And I say that as a member of this body and as chair of that commission. We got work to do. And I would rather give us a little time and get it right than just pick numbers and pick words to put in here. And it's just a deferral tonight. We're not. Yes, sir. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If it does get deferred, would we at committee be able to decide whether it's going to be 90 days from that? Do we put it together? When are we going to give our citizens an ordinance? I think I'd ask that question, sir, and I don't know if I should be asking you or Mr. Pagliarini. Then my second question, sir, and I'll yield after that, is we do defer. Are we staying with the ordinance, the trial ordinance, or are we going back to our old ordinance?
Let's do a legal point of order.
Yes, sir.
On that one.
I'm curious about that.
If we defer, because the proposed ordinance only passed first reading, if we defer, The ordinance that has been in place for years is still the noise ordinance in effect.
Correct, sir. The current ordinance is still effective, has always been effective, and will be affected unless it is superseded by a new ordinance.
Right.
You know, Ms. Pegley, I think what I was asking, sir, is, and maybe I misunderstood, is the trial ordinance, the one we were supposed to vote on tonight.
Right.
If we defer, are we going back to the old one that's been with us for the past 10 years? Or are we staying for this until we can reach the final end? That's what I'm asking. Which one do we tell our police department that's the one they need to use while we continue to do our work? I want to make sure I give our men and women in blue the right tool out there. Right.
The old or existing ordinance is what we would have on the books, meaning the proposed new ordinance is not effective in any way at this time, nor would it be during the pendency of any discussion by committee or this council for that
matter. So I understand we revert back to the original ordinance, or the one that was currently on the books, if you will.
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm a lawyer. I
there's no reverting.
I appreciate that.
It's not reverting. It remains in existence.
I'm law enforcement, we revert it. Thank you, Mr. Pagliarini. So I understand now, I think.
That one has never been suspended, so that remains. And I'm just asking the other members of the other committees to let PJL work on it to get it right. We have an ordinance in place, but just like we did for short-term rentals tonight, let us get the difficult. I just mentioned seven other things besides decibels. We've got to get this right, and that's all. We're not asking for anything different that other committees don't ask for all the time.
Mayor.
Yes.
I'm just hearing a lot of residents ask for a little time for them to work together, which, I mean, Mr. Coleman has been here, I think, every committee meeting, every council meeting talking about this. And when he himself has asked for time for us to take a deeper look at this and given them a chance to cooperate and help us come up with an ordinance that most people are going to be happy with. So I would support a deferment.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything else before we vote on the motion to defer? And the motion is to defer. It does not have a time limit on it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if we want to put a time limit on it. I think our citizens want to know what we're going to do, I think we need to put a time limit on it.
You would have to propose an amendment to the proposed amendment that we're voting on.
All right, I'll put a proposed amendment of say 60 days.
Is that a motion?
I make a motion to do that.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion and a second. We're in a discussion for an amendment to the original motion to defer, which would limit the deferral to 60 days. Let me ask this question. Does 60 days mean 60 days to bring it back for final reading, or 60 days for the committee to work? It's two different things.
Right. I see the committees, you know, working both of those months together, so you'll have 2 months. And you can, if you want to get together earlier, you can as well. But I'm saying 60 days, bring it back to council.
Okay. Mr. Pegler, are we clear?
Just for the record, I'm interpreting that as committee for November and December, right, which would be that. And therefore, the mandatory time to come back to council would be January. Is that your intent, sir?
I think that's fair.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Yes, sir, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, you're councilman, but you'll always be.
Either way, Mr. Santos, I would ask you to change that to 90 days, and I'll tell you why. We had a first 90 days, we couldn't get it done. We're at 12 months now, we haven't got it done. I'm hoping we can get this committee or this work team together and actually accomplish something. So I'd like to give it that 90 days that we gave it originally. And then let's have that drop dead date so we can give our folks, our restaurants, our residents, something that they brought to us and we can discuss, debate, and move forward. So
absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Would you like to amend your
I would like
amendment?
To amend my motion to say 90 days. I started to say that at the beginning, but I went.
Would you amend your
second? Lower.
I'll amend my yes or no to a yes. Yes.
And just to be clear, that gives the PJL committee November, December, and January to review this.
Yes, sir, and it would be eligible to come back to a regular council meeting in February of 2020.
February, that's right. Okay. All right.
Just one more thing. I do not, and I don't mean to
coin it here, but I do not want to be known as the kick the can council. So if we could, kind of put this to rest. I mean, we've got to give the residents and the police a clear definition of what it is. The problem I'm seeing when I'm out there is I'm afraid that I see so many companies working with the residents. There's been so much positive feedback that where I'm really afraid of the noise ordinance at 60 is I'm afraid of neighbors against neighbors more than I'm afraid of businesses, because the businesses want to be good stewards. And most of the businesses that I've seen are working with. And I went and measured, and I was surprised at the, I was like, why are we even doing a noise ordinance? Because they're within the 60 decibels. I mean, they're just there. They're making it happen. So what I really, really want to make sure when y'all look at this is, please look at the neighbor versus neighbor, because that is my real fear. I have speakers and a pool in my backyard. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
I would like to say I agree. That's why I listed these other things about, you know, the duration of noise and the specificity of the noise and the type of noise and all that. It's not just decibel levels so that we can keep neighbor from being at neighbor. So the proposed amendment is 90 days for the committee to do its work. That would be November, December, January.
Come back February.
And it would come back February. Okay. All in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One no. All right. The amendment, it would be 90 days. Now we vote. Is there any discussion on the amendment to defer? All in favor of the amendment to defer, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay. By 8-1 vote, the item is deferred. Thank you all very much. Section C is executive session for legal and contractual discussion of Faison Road requests for proposals and personnel consideration of applications to serve on the Commercial Design Review Board. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
All right. For those purposes, second. And there is a second. Before we vote, council may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting. All in favor of the motion to go into executive session for the reasons stated, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? We are in executive session. Thank you. We have reconvened from executive session. No votes were cast. No action was taken. Is there a motion?
I would like to make a motion that we defer item C1, discussion of Faison Road request for proposal, until the December council meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to defer to the December?
The December council meeting.
December, yes. Council meeting. So that would be about 60 days. Okay. Motion second. We are in discussion.
I don't know what I can against
it. I call for the question, Mayor.
Well, I was going to say something.
If someone wants to speak, we cannot entertain a motion to call a question.
According to
Robert's rules.
I think we need to also have the Recreation Commission be a part of this as well, and at least be involved and see what we're doing and have their opinion as well. I mean, we appoint a commission and nobody said a word to them. I went and talked to them about it, and they had no idea what we were doing. And I think we need to bring the Recreation Commission in, and let's let them also have a word, you know.
That's not in the motion, however. The motion is simply to defer, and right. I don't know the confidentiality of this, that we are allowed to do that. I'll defer to the parliamentary.
That is correct, Mayor. Their role would be outside of the specific process of the RFP, so I would not recommend that at this time.
Okay. So the motion is to defer until the December meeting. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
No.
We'll need a roll call, please. Hang on. I have to do the count. Bear with me. Here's my here to so much.
Sure.
If you would, I got it. If you would just call the roll. A yes vote is to defer until December.
Mr. Chapman?
No.
Mr. Chapman votes no. Ms. Corley?
Yes.
Ms. Corley votes yes. Ms. Hyatt?
No.
Ms. Hyatt votes no. Mr. Icofano?
No.
Mr. Icofano votes no. Mr. Rambo?
Yes.
Mr. Rambo votes yes. Mr. Ritchie?
No.
Mr. Ritchie votes no. Mr. Santos?
Yes.
Mr. Santos votes yes. Ms. Whitley?
No.
Ms. Whitley votes no. Mayor Haney?
Yes. So 5-4, the motion fails to defer. Is there another motion, please?
I'll move for the, I guess it's the Commercial Design Review Board to reappoint.
We need to vote in order.
It doesn't matter the order, Mayor.
You can do it in any order.
You can do either one.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I move for the Commercial Design Review Board to reappoint Abigail Richardson to seat number 2 and to appoint Lee Cave to seat number 4.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we have the appointees to DRB. Is there another motion?
Yes, I'd like to move for staff to move forward with Faison Road request for proposal as presented in executive session.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I do.
Yes.
I am going to vote against this. It has nothing to do. I'm not voting against any of the organizations chosen. I feel like this land was purchased with a lot of people under the understanding that it would be for the families of Mount Pleasant, for the kids of Mount Pleasant, for additional recreation opportunities, space, things that families can do. This is not in the spirit of that, and quite frankly, a waste of money, in my opinion.
All right. Yes, sir.
I just say I did of what Mr. Rambo said.
Right. Any other comments? Yes, ma'am. Ms. Hyatt.
I was going to let Mr. Icofano speak,
okay,
but
Mr.
I'm sorry. I'll go ahead. The original discussion of this property came up in our Economic Development Committee that I was a member of. So the original votes for purchasing this property was for economic development, which to me can include opportunities that benefit the citizens of the town. So that's why I'm for just moving forward with making a decision.
Yes, I
was not on council when this went through, but looking back through everything, I believe it was purchased for economic development. And I believe we have an economic development plan that is in place that specifically states that this area is needed for economic development.
Ms. Whitley.
Yes, and I would like to clarify for the public that this is these RFPs are only addressing 5 acres of the 30-some acres of land that was purchased, and the rest of it will be for preservation for passive park use. So I will be supporting this motion that I made.
Anyone else want to speak? Yes.
Just one. Originally, this land, when it was first talked about, was about recreation. If you remember correctly, we had some folks came in, Eric, and talked to us about putting a senior center out there, a YMCA out there, as well as a restaurant up on top with ball fields around. You remember we were in the room up there. That's before we talked about any other stuff. I think there was one more thing. YMCA, I think, was the other one that came in that was at the table with us. So I'm just bringing that up because that was actually the first thing that I remember being mentioned about that land before development came up. I mean, it was going to. We talked about being a recreation facility with the ability to have a senior center there and have a YMCA there for the kids kind of thing in a restaurant on top where parents could drop the kids off to play games and play ball or practice or whatever and go up and get something to eat and watch them through the glass windows. But that was the first thing that I remember that came out about that property.
Any other comments?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mayor, I think either we were at a different meeting or maybe Mr. Santos remembers what he wanted to do there. And I don't in any way object to what he's saying, except that we talked to the aviation authority about putting ball fields on that site. And they were very specific about the fact that they did not want any lighting there because, Mr. Rambo, I have the floor. Thank you. So the point is, what we're doing is trying to correct something that I voted against to start with because I didn't think it was the right thing to do to buy this land. But now that we got it, we need to do something to help with economic development in this community. Thank you.
Mrs. Corley.
I just think we're passing up on an amazing opportunity to protect some green space, especially in that area. I think I haven't been shy to talk about what a disaster that whole road looks like and where's the water going to go. This is a perfect opportunity for us as a council to say enough and buy more property and make it green. I'm down for that. So I will be voting no.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, but just one last thing. I full wholeheartedly believe in recreation in this town, but the land was purchased for economic development. That's what I read, we promised the citizens of Mount Pleasant we spent their money on, and then we put in RFP, which I begged to look at different things in council with recreation on that list. On that original list, I begged that we looked at recreation out there. And then we only put an RFP out for attainable housing and for economic development, I believe. We've got to stop trying to fool everybody. We have to stick with the plan, and we have to move forward with those plans for once. That's all, and I promise I'm done.
Mr. Rambo.
I would just like to clarify that when the final vote was taken, the agenda that night did not state what the purpose of it was for. This is that we were purchasing the property. So that is, and if you look back over emails that we received from people who were in support of purchasing the property, what we're about to do with it was mentioned in maybe 10% of those emails. Most of those people thought that their kids would benefit, and they're not.
All right. The motion is, we know the motion to direct staff to do as discussed. Just for clarification, this is not a vote on what we will do with the property. This is only about receiving the RFPs. This is not a decision to do anything with the property other than to delve further into the RFPs.
Correct.
Right? All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Six three. Yes.
Yeah, I was a no. Sorry.
All right. Thank you very much. Are there any more motions? The next item on our agenda is to adjourn. We will stand adjourned.